Tim Watson, Ungary and Tim, called them the second most hyped team.
Second most? What
was second most hyped team. I think it was the Bombers.
I think it would be the Bombers.
At the time. And that was after the trade period and all the dust had settled. A team that a lot of neutral fans, if you don't break for the Lions, enjoyed watching how they went about their work.
A couple of things for me. I mean, they've got a lot of natural talent mm-hmm. in that side now, albeit some of it's still very young and still improving. But I like their style of play. I like the fact that Chris really allows them to take the game on and to attack sides. I mean, the couple of times that they beat Hawthorn, I mean, they just beat them by just outrunning and just outplaying them. And I think a lot of people really appreciated that style.
And now we've given him a very well-deserved rap. Let's welcome in Chris Fagan, the coach of the Brisbane Lions. Chris, welcome back to 1116 SEN.
Thanks for having me. I thought I wouldn't be doing any interviews for couple more months, but you blokes are on the ball.
We most certainly are. Once pre-season starts, mate, you've got to get into media mode, and we are, of course, always excited about the AFL season, even if it is pre-Christmas. But you've got the young list, you are developing, you played a really nice style in 2018, and getting into pre-season must be fairly exciting.
Yeah, it is, and we've been really pleased the way the boys have turned up. They're obviously enthusiastic, you know, all our testing and skin folds and all those sorts of things have been spot on, which is really pleasing. You're, as a coach, you always worry just a little bit about that, how they're going to come back. But it's a demonstration of a positive attitude and a hunger to improve. So we're pleased with where things are at the moment.
Chris, look, I know you've got a nice supporter base up there, but it's still a non-footy town, so the hype is not as big. But what do you do with your players around this so-called hype that's there? Do you embrace it and do you let them just sort of take it on, or do you just sort of got to hedge it back a little bit and sort of say, hey, we've still got plenty of work to do?
It's probably a combination of both. I mean, our players are aware of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of positive thoughts about us, and to a degree they feel like they've earned those comments, but they do know that they have a long way to go. We still only won 5 games last year, albeit we were much closer in 6 or 7 other games and, you know, weren't too far away from achieving victories. So I think they've taken confidence out of that, but still know that there's a lot of work to be done, and they're aware of how competitive the competition is and just have a hunger to improve. So I haven't detected any complacency at all. It's more how can we improve, how can we get better, how can we turn those close losses into wins next year.
You mentioned the close losses, Chris. Is that a developing maturity thing with the group? Do you think why those losses didn't turn into 4 points? Is it a structural thing? Are you able to pinpoint why some games late you couldn't quite get over the line, which might have turned 5 wins into 8, 9, maybe even 10?
Yeah, look, I think all those ones that we lost by close margins, we were chasing, we're never in front. Yep. I'd be more concerned as a coach if we were, having good leads and getting mowed down, but we were actually the reverse of that. So it's a lot of it was our starts. We were giving teams too much of a head start and then mowing them down. So a little bit of that's body strength, experience, intensity at start of games, and teams knowing perhaps we're a little bit vulnerable in that area. So we did get better at it in the second half of the year, but you know that was the primary cause of that, not falling away late in games or anything like that.
How do you weigh up the wins and losses? And I don't mean on the playing field, but from the trade period. So you lose Dane Beams out of your lineup, but you bring another star in Lachie Neale in. How did you weigh that up in your own head, sort of once it was all washed up?
Yeah, probably a little bit disappointed to lose Dane, but fully understanding of the situation. And also aware that, you know, I suppose I was at Hawthorn when we lost Buddy Franklin, and the world was going to end when that happened, but it didn't. We won the next 2 premierships. So, you know, what we do know is that it's teams that win premierships, not individual players. And, you know, we've got a great group of young midfielders who are coming through, and this now gives them an opportunity to step up. And alongside of that, you know, we've recruited some other good guys into the club. Like, we've got Jared Lyons late, who is a real bonus. Lincoln McCarthy, we think, can play a little bit of time on ball. We think Hugh McCluggage will develop into a player that can play both inside and outside. So overall, I think we've got it covered with the guys that we've drafted in, traded in over the last few years, and they're obviously looking forward to that opportunity. Players always step up, I reckon.
The part that I'm interested in. I look around the edges. I look through the middle of the ground, and I sort of see tick, tick, tick. I think that that's all positive. The area that I'm interested in is your taller players. You know, Harris Andrews at one end, Hipwood down the other end, seem to be progressing along really nicely. Obviously, Harris is in front of Eric at the moment, but certainly both of those are coming along nicely. It's going to be the other spots to me that sort of sees whether the determination, Daniel McStay as a forward, does he take the next step? Can Marcus Adams, or is it a Josh Walker down the other end? Just how that sort of plays out to me will be a big part of how far forward you go.
Yeah, their development's really important. We saw some good signs from them last year. And we've also got blokes like Connor Ballardon, Tommy Fullerton, who people wouldn't know about, has been a basketballer who previously was a pretty good footballer, and he's come back to us. He's training really well. Matty Eagles showed some good signs last year before he got injured down back. Jack Payne was another one that played in the JLT and then got some stress fractures in his shin and didn't play. So we've got a lot of options, but you're right there, Gary. Those guys that we gave the games to last year, we want them to step up and take the game to a next level so they can support Harris and Eric. And we think those two guys can improve as well. And look, there's no doubt Marcus Adams, I reckon, is a really good player. He possibly would have played in the Dogs premiership team had he been fit at that time. He can play either end of the ground, and he's a vigorous competitor, and I think he will add a little bit of value to our team as well.
Just one that I want to give a rap to there. I think that down in Victoria, we actually underestimate what Darcy Gardner does for that back line as well. I think he's coming along really nicely as a player.
Yeah, and he played some important roles for us last year. Like he matched up well on Lance Franklin. He matched up well on Cameron from GWS, and they're players who've had trouble with in the past. But he's been able to do those jobs, which has enabled guys like Harris Andrews to zone off and mark and spoil. So he is an underestimated player, a really tough competitor. And the good part is he can play on talls and smalls, which you sort of want that versatility in your back line these days. So, valuable player, Darcy.
Chris Fagan joins us, the coach of the Brisbane Lions. Yesterday, Terry Wallace and I were talking a little bit about the AFL preseason and where it sits. The AFLX is going to change format, we believe. The amount of games are now less with the JLT. As a club and as a coach, are you happy with the preseason, how it sits? Do you think it needs to be tinkered with? And what is the best way to lead in for a club into round one?
Yeah, I think it depends on where your list's at. For us, we definitely prefer 3 JLT games. We've got a lot of young players, and the more games we can get into them, the better. If we've got an older team, 2 games is probably enough. So there's not an easy answer to that one, I don't think. And we just, as a club, we've just got to find a way to play that extra game or two that we think we need outside of that. So our near neighbours, the Gold Coast Sun, are in the similar situation to us, and I've been talking to Stewie Dew, so we'll probably have a few hit-outs over the pre-season against each other, just to give us a little bit more match practice than would otherwise be the case if we just sort of relied on the JLT games.
When we talk and we're looking like we might see an all-star format with the AFLX, did the AFL run it by the clubs, or they ran it by you that you're okay with having a couple of you, maybe your star high-profile players play?
Yeah, I'm involved in the competition committee, so that's been discussed there, and I think it probably will go down more the pathway of that all-stars format. How they actually do that, I'm not 100% certain, but I think that's the idea this year, to have give the fans a different look.
Just if we're talking to your supporter base down in Melbourne, and we are going to, after Christmas, be playing those practice games where they're going to see a few of the young kids, who are a couple of the youngsters that we might have seen a couple of times that you're hoping can take the next step? One that I'm really looking forward to keeping an eye on is Zach Bailey. I just think that what I've sort of seen of him at the next level down, and the couple of times that I've seen him, I think that he's a player that could potentially take a nice step.
Yeah, you read my mind there, Terry. It was the first name I was about to mention. I think he played a dozen games last year. His last game of the season against West Coast was his best. He's one of our best players in that game. I think he picked up coaches' votes from both groups of coaches. So he's got fantastic breakaway speed from congestion, which is an element in our team that we've been trying to build. So we're really keen on him. Brandon Stasevich was able to play 3 or 4 games towards the end of the year last year. Again, he's a He's a guy who can play midfield, but he also goes forward, pressures well. Nice kick, good decision maker. So we have high hopes for him. And Eli Smith, who we picked up in this year's draft, we think he can make the transition reasonably quickly. Physically, he's ready to go. He doesn't really need weights. He's a bit like Cam Rayner. He's just built to play the game. So if we can get his game understanding up to speed and he can fit in with the way that we want to play, he's another one that that could bob up. And I mentioned Tommy Fullerton earlier in the piece. He came on board late last season from basketball, and he's having a great pre-season. So all pretty exciting players, I think. Can't get enough games into them quickly enough.
Hey, we all know that a serious hamstring injury can really derail a season. Luckily or unluckily, depending on where you sit, probably for you, unluckily, your hamstring injury was, in the end, just contained to the coach's box. Mate, great idea and a great cause with Freeze MND, but have you pulled up? You still have some sore hamstrings, or are you sure you're all good now?
No, I'm back jogging.
There you go.
I'll never be able to sprint again. I'm too old, but I'm back jogging, pain-free. The doctors have looked after me. Funny, that hamstring. It's really the most famous hamstring in Australian history. Everywhere I go, people ask me how my hamstring is. It's the opening bit of conversation. But it was a great cause, and hopefully whatever Neil does this year, he'll get a good group of people behind him, and they can raise plenty of money again for MND.
Hey, Chris, just before I do let you go, you mentioned it earlier about Dane Beams leaving and, you know, the Buddy Franklin situation. Is that something you conveyed to your team in a conversation about that we do it as a group more so than individual, or is it just something that doesn't need to be said?
No, we talk about that all the time. It's not just because Dane left. It's been a theme that we've had at the club since I've been there. And then, you know, you look through it over the years, you know, Plugger Lockett left St Kilda, but the Saints made the grand final the next year. Unfortunately for Brent Deledio, he went to GWS. You know, Richmond go on and win a premiership. So they're all big names and great players, but it's not what the game's all about.
No doubt. Ablett.
Gary Ablett, yeah.
Dangerfield,
yeah.
The Crows made a grand final a couple of years after it. So it's funny how, in such a game that they are such superstars, that the teams they leave can go on to have a fair bit of success. Hey, Chris, congratulations on this emerging team that we all love to watch as well, in particular neutral fans, and that's about a bigger compliment you can give when it comes to AFL, because we all know that this team's going the right way, playing well, winning games, and look forward to 2019, mate. Enjoy the preseason as much as you can, and we'll talk soon.
We'll do. We can't take that for granted, but that's what we're striving for. So thanks, boys. Thanks for your interest.